Let's pray first. Precious Father God, you are an incredible and mighty and awesome God, and I just thank you so much. I really, truly do. You're a God who is in control, and we can trust that at every moment of our lives, Lord, and so often we take it for granted, God. So right now, I just want to pause and thank you, Lord, as we assemble together here on a Sunday morning, Lord. We just want to acknowledge you. We want to thank you and praise you. We want to worship you with our whole hearts, God. And right now, I just pray that you open our hearts and minds to your word. I pray, Lord, that you allow it to sink in deeply, Lord, in such a way that it will impact our lives, not just for a few minutes or a few hours or even a few days, but literally, Lord, for a lifetime. So we put this time in your hands, Lord, and I just pray that you would give me your words, and I pray, Lord, that your will be done and you would be glorified here this day. You are an amazing God, and I thank you so much for all that you are, all that you have been, and all that you will be in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So are you winning the battle? Amen. Are you winning the battle? I'm just asking real quick, are you winning the battle? Amen. Huh? Come on, are you, yes, I say, yeah, I'm winning the battle, or no, I'm not winning the battle, or I don't even know that I'm in a battle. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's kind of a quick trick question is what I've just asked you. It really was. So, and I appreciate, yes, amen. It's kind of a trick question because I'm asking, are you winning the battle? And here's the thing. If you are winning the battle, there's a little bit of a thing going on there because you were never really intended to be able to win this battle on your own. Now, some of you are thinking, I don't even know what this battle is that you're talking about. I'm not in a battle. No. If you don't realize that you're in a battle, we need to open our eyes up really quick because literally, whether you recognize it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, every single day, actually, at every single moment of every single day, with every decision, every thought, every aspect of every part of your life, every day is literally a battle. Literally a battle that's going on in your life. Now, the war, if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, if you have been born again and he has allowed the Spirit of God to dwell in you and be a part of you, the war is over, okay? The war is over. You have been saved. You have been redeemed. You have been saved from a life of eternity separated from God because that war is over. And the only one who can win that war is Jesus Christ. He is the only one who has been able to win that war. And he's won that war I'm not going to say for himself because he didn't need to even have it. He's the only one who is able to win that war for our very souls. And so the war is over. Okay? We know who wins victory. Everyone who is in Christ Jesus, who accepted him as Lord and Savior, you are on the victorious side, and that is awesome. That's fantastic. Let's hear it. Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. But, and I don't want to say but, I've said it three times now, the battles are still going on. And if we don't recognize that, if we don't understand that, if we don't have an acknowledgement of the battles that are going on every single day in every one of our lives, no one is exempt. If we don't recognize that the battle is going on, then how are we ever going to know if we're being victorious in it or not? So I need to kind of stop here real quick. Again, I've been looking at the Victorious Christian Living material. I've been studying. I've been going through it with a few different people here lately, and it's been allowing me to really study and get deeper into it. And I've gone through it several different times, but for some reason, this is really sinking into my spirit and into my soul in a very deep way here lately. And so I'm trying to share some of these examples. I'm not going to do it the way that they do at VCL and stuff like that. This is Eldon's way of trying to bring it out and bring it about and how God's leading me to share this. But there is a battle that's going on in our very lives every single day. And it's a battle of our minds. It's a battle of our wills. And we need to understand it. And God has given us a choice in so many different ways. Let me back up just real quick. So here's the thing about this battle. Unless you have Jesus, unless you've accepted him, unless you've made a conscious choice to confess his name, to be obedient to him in a watery death and be born again of water and the Spirit, here's the thing. You are losing the battles. You are losing them over and over and over and over again. And there is no hope for you to ever win the battle without Jesus in your life, without the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, because without the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you don't even have a fighting chance in this battle, because the battle that we're talking about is between the flesh and between the Spirit. And the thing that's in the middle, if you remember correctly, is your soul, okay? Your very soul, the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you desire, the way that you make decisions in your life. And you are in the very center. And if the battle is not there, if the Spirit is not dwelling in you, there's no chance for this battle to ever be won, because the flesh is going to continually win that battle because it has the greatest influence in your life. And at some point in time, when you accept Jesus, the Spirit has an opportunity to get in the battle with you and start influencing your mind and your heart and your will and your desires and your emotions. And that's something that's got to happen. And it's a choice that we get to make. We get to choose to follow, or we get to choose to allow the flesh to win in our life. It's an amazing thing. This battle's been going on literally from the moment Eve said, "I'll eat. And then I'll be able to know what's good and evil." The trouble is, when she took of the fruit and was able to distinguish between good and evil, or have the choice between, that's where the choice came in. And God has been trying and reaching out to his people, to the people of the earth, every single one of us, in so many ways all the way through. He's been continually saying over and over and over again in so many different ways, choose life. Choose life. Choose truth. As a matter of fact, even all the way back in Deuteronomy, I love this little passage. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 19, there's this little passage. And he's speaking to the Israelites, but he's actually speaking to all of mankind through all of history. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, "This day," I'm not Moses, never claimed to be, never will claim to be. I'm Elvin, you're WCBC. Listen to this. "This day, I call heaven and earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children," listen to this, "you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He's saying, choose life. Choose God. Choose his truth. Choose his word. Choose his will for your life. Choose him. And that is not just in the big things. That's in literally the very little things of everyday life and every small decision that you're making every single day. We have an ability to choose between God's will for us and our will for us. What do you mean, our will for us? There's a really interesting little passage. I love this. I don't love it, but it reveals some real truth here, all right? It's in Isaiah chapter 14. Kind of an interesting little thing. Isaiah chapter 14. It's talking about the enemy in a very real way. You guys all realize who the enemy is? It's not the person sitting next to you, or the person on the other side of the aisle, or the person on the other side of the room. It's not even the people who are in your workplaces and all these different things that you feel like are against you in some way, shape, or form. The enemy is, our enemy is not with flesh and blood. It's with what? It's with the principalities in the spiritual world that continually bombards us with lies, all right? So here's this little passage in Isaiah chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. It says this. It's talking about our enemy. "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations." Listen to verse 13. "You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned mount on the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Did you notice a little phrase that was through that entire passage that I just read?
I will.
I will. I will. I will. I will. Now, some of you read that and listened to it and saw it and said, "Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I've never said I will ascend. I've never said I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly of the most on the utmost heights of the sacred. I will ascend above the not. I'm not that arrogant. I'm not that self-centered. I'm not. Wait a second. Now we just got into another little phrase. I'm not. You see, what's talking about here in Isaiah is really what's at the heart of the battle that's going on in every man and every woman every day. It's our will, my desire. He says, I will set my own agenda. I will set my own course. I will accomplish by my own power. I will receive and desire all my praise, and I will be my own master. Now, we don't consciously say that in our everyday life, but in reality, every day, with every decision, with all that we do, if we're not conscious of the battle that's going on, we will subconsciously, because of our flesh and the strength that it has, we will continue to choose I will, or my desire, or what I want in my life every single day with every decision. And what we're doing, we're satisfying the flesh. But until we understand that there's a battle going on every day, with every moment, with the opportunity to hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, because He is wanting to cry out into your lives with everything that you have. He's wanting you to follow Him in every decision that you're making. To live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Until we understand that battle is going on and acknowledge it, we're never even going to know that we're in a battle. And it is a battle. It is a battle. And it's a choice that we get to make every single day. And that battle not only affects us, but that battle affects everyone that we're surrounded with on the battlefield. Do you realize that? Because my decisions, the one that I choose to follow and the one that I choose to satisfy and the one that I choose to glorify becomes an example to everyone around me in every way. And you can't serve two masters. It's not possible. And the battle is real. And it's not something I'm just talking about. Actually, the Word of God speaks about it in so many different places. I want you to take a look at just a couple of them. Romans chapter 8. And I know I just looked at these passages not too long ago, but it seems like, for whatever reason, I'm sure it's guilty. Probably me. I need to be reminded of it. In Romans chapter 8, we could back up a long ways, but we're going to try to start verse 5. Listen to what he says about this battle. Those who live according to the sinful nature, here's the battle. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. What I want, what I think, what I feel, what I think is right. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Do you see that battle literally going on right there? The sinful nature, what I want, what I desire, what my plans are, what I think is best, where I should go, what I should do, what I should have, what I deserve, compared to what the Spirit says on what God says is right, where God wants us to go, what God wants us to do, what He wants us to say, where He wants us to be, how He wants us to be. You see, there's a battle going on between those two things constantly in your lives, and even the smallest things. Do I want an apple or a banana? No. I don't know where that came from. That probably wasn't a good example, was it? Because they're both good. Ray. If you didn't hear Ray, he said an orange. But literally, in the smallest aspects of our lives, what would happen is if we have an apple and a banana set before us. It doesn't really matter. An apple's good, right? A banana's good, right? They're both good, right? But what would happen is if we became so mindful and cognitive and so aware of God and the desires that He has for our life, what would start happening if we literally, and I know this sounds a little over the top and things like that, but if I go over the top, maybe I can hit you somewhere in the middle. You know what I'm saying? What would happen is if I said, Lord, would you have me have a banana or an apple in the smallest, silliest, most inconsequential decisions that I have in my life? Fruit Loops or Frosted Flakes? White Sox, Black Sox? What would happen if we were so cognitive and aware and acknowledgement of God in our lives in the smallest things that even when we ask Him those small things, even though it's inconsequential, apple or banana, that we're conscious of Him. And we practice it in every aspect of our lives. How much more do you think His voice would ring clearly when it becomes the big decisions? How much more practice would you have understanding the will of God in your life when the little bit bigger battles start to arise? How much more effect would it have on the people around you if they recognize that the things that you're doing, the places that you're going, the words that you're saying are literally being controlled and being put through the lens and the filter of God, even in the smallest of things? How would your daily life affect those fellow warriors around you? Maybe your children, or your coworkers, your fellow students. If they recognize the decisions that you're making have gone through the filter of God. And it is a battle. Because flesh wants what the flesh wants. And it wants to satisfy itself, to build up itself. But here's the thing. Whew. It's gotten kind of heavy, hasn't it? Except for the apple and the banana thing, that was a little bit lighter. It matters. It truly does. And until we understand that this battle is raging on around us every single day with every decision, with every relationship, we're never going to have an opportunity to win unless we know the Spirit of God has our best interests, has the most incredible plan for each and every one of our lives. And He really does. He made us. He created us. He brought us here. And He brought us here for a reason. Do you know what that reason is? Do you remember what Jesus says? Remember that one point in time He says, He sent me here to do what? His will, not mine. Guess what? He created you. He sent you here. He placed you here in Walnut, Illinois today for a reason so that you could do as His creation, as a part of His kingdom, to do His will and not your own. To follow Him and not your own desires. You see, the problem is if we continue to follow our own desires, if we continue to follow our own will, you know what the result is? You know what the result of continuing to follow the flesh throughout your life is? You know what the result is? It's death. As a matter of fact, Ephesians, I believe it is the one that talks, is it, maybe it's Galatians. Galatians, I think it talks about it. Let's see. Oh, this is where I wish I would have written down more notes than just the passage, so I'm thinking it's Galatians. Y'all with me still? Have you turned out? Here it is. Galatians 6, verse 7. We could back up. Let's just go at 7. It says, don't be deceived. Do not be deceived, guys. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, the one who continually makes decisions to fulfill or to fill his sinful nature, to make sure that he's protected, to make sure that he's provided for, to make sure that his needs are met, the one who continually sows to meet that sinful nature. This is what it says. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will also reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. He says, you know what? If we continue to sow with our sinful nature, we're going to reap a harvest of destruction. He says that, but we continue to sow with our Spirit. If we allow the Spirit of God to continue to speak into our life, there is life there. There is hope. There is a future. And he's asking us very plainly, who will you serve? To whom are you making the decisions that you're making right now? Is it for your own benefit, your own desire, for your own comfort? Or are we looking at the needs of others, the people who are on the battlefield around us, who need to know that there's a better way, a better hope, and a better life? Huh. I read this in the VCL, and I'm going to try and quote this. It says, every sin issue in our life is a trust issue. Every sin in our life is a trust issue. Because we have concerns that God won't do what I want. At the heart of every sin is a trust issue. And too often, my will tilts the scale to God's will. But there can be life, and there can be hope, and there can be opportunities to turn the battle within your battlefield. I'm about to get emotional, okay? I will try not to get too emotional. So this week, yesterday, I was thumbing through Facebook. I rarely ever make a comment, actually, very rarely ever make a comment on Facebook in any way, shape, or form, because it's mostly my opinions, and not everyone needs to know my opinions. But there was a Facebook post from a very dear friend, someone I love very dearly, Amber Alexander. Whew! Here it comes! Sorry, here it comes. I apologize. But Amber posted that her mom asked her to post on Facebook a big, huge thank you to everyone, to her doctors who have been treating her for the last 6 years with the cancer that she's been suffering with, to her family, to all of her friends, of all the incredible support and love and encouragement and prayers and all the things that have been going on for the last 6 years. But they've come to the point where she is saying, thank you, but I'm going to cease all treatments and let God have his course. Looking forward to just going home. And there's a picture of Norma there, which makes it look like she's been through the battle. I mean, no hair, puffy face from all the treatments. And I teared up. Not because I know what's eventually coming, probably sooner than we all think. But I teared up because there was a woman who was in the battlefield and continually chose to serve God when it was inconvenient, when it was to her detriment. In every instance, she chose him. And within 8 minutes of Amber posting that, because for whatever reason I was there right then, it seemed like when she posted it, within eight minutes there was like 60 responses. I checked it this morning. There are over 800 responses from one woman's life who chose life, who chose to put herself on the back burner in the battlefield that she was in and chose to give, to shine the light of Christ to so many different people. And it's amazing. So the question might come up, how do I know whether I'm choosing myself or choosing the Spirit? That's a good question. Are you worried about the results and the outcome? Who's in control of those? God. If I'm worried about how the results are going to come out, I'm going by the flesh. Am I worried? I'm going by the flesh. Am I hoping God will give me a pass on this one little decision that I'm making? I'm going by the flesh. Is it according to God's will? Is it according to God's word more than anything else? Is what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, what I'm wanting to do, is it according to God's word, or am I hoping I'll get the exception? It's going by the flesh. We're in a battle. We're in a battle every single day. And the most amazing part about this battle is God's won. We just need to choose to follow him, to put our own interests, our own desires aside and seek him. Banana or apple? You see, God is able to do exceedingly more than you could hope for or imagine for yourself. And we can trust him. We can literally place it in his hands and know that he will do what is right and good and just. Listen to me. Every single time. And if it's not the result that you were thinking it should be, then you haven't seen the end result. You're still in the battle. The war is still raging on around you, and you haven't seen what God has intended for the greater good. Oops. That must mean I'm done. We'll end with two passages. I just lost my train of thought when that little piece of paper flew away. I'm not going to say that. Squirrel! No, all right. I am so easily distracted. I'm sorry, but it was just... I'm going to remind you of two things. First of all, one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It tells us that we were bought at a price. We're bought at a price. Each one of us who've accepted Christ, we were bought at a price. We were brought into new creation. We were bought at a price, not to do our will, but the will of the Father. And he has great plans for us. All right? So remember that every day. You are not your own. Do you hear me? Say it with me. I am not my own. Say it again. I am not my own. I am not my own. I have been bought at a price. And it is no longer me who lives, but it is what? Christ who lives in me. This life is not mine. I have been given orders from the great general on how to do this battle. And the way that I do this battle, the way I live this life, is in accordance to his will and his desires and what he wants for me. I am not my own. He has placed me in this situation. I am where I'm at right now, not because of my choices, but because of God's will for my life. Because God directs me, even in my wrong choices, he still directs me to where I'm at. And I have to do what he's calling me to do right now for according to his will and according to his purpose. Guys, get this. You're not there by a mistake. You're not here by a mistake. You're here because he has directed you here. Whatever that life situation is. And right now you have a choice to follow him or walk away from him. To find life or to experience death in your relationships. And he's saying choose life. Here's the other part. And I'm going to be done. I really am. The way that this happens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to leave you as this last thing. The way this happens, the way these battles are won, not by you, but by him, the way these battles are won is literally this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I got to look at the verse and just make sure. Yep, it's 3. Begin at verse 3. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Because the world, and the way we wage war is to make sure that we win it our way at any cost. Verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons we're fighting this battle with, literally, listen to this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Did you hear what I just said? Apples, bananas. Life, death. Move, stay. We take captive every thought. Every thought. To make it obedient to Christ. What battle are you facing? What decision are you struggling with? What needs to happen next? Know you're in a battle. And the flesh is trying to make you make every decision for your glory, for your comfort, for your desire, for your will. And the Spirit right now is speaking and saying, listen, take that thought captive and listen to God. Seek his word about the problem that you're facing. And choose life. Let's stand and sing.